Oceans make up 70% of our planet. They drive weather systems, regulate temperature, and provide food. Yet despite these vital services, the seas have been largely unexplored. 10 years ago, the Census of Marine Life set out to change that. 2,700 scientists from 80 countries logged 550 expeditions to document the diversity, distribution, and abundance of the ocean. Oceanographer Paul Snellgrove, a professor at Memorial University of Newfoundland, sums up the 10-year effort in his new book, Discoveries of the Census of Marine Life, Making Ocean Life Count, released this week with the census.
With a fair degree of confidence, we now know of about 250,000 described species for the ocean, and that this is probably about 25% of what actually lives there. So there's still 3 to 4 species yet to be discovered for every one that we know about.
So is the ocean richer than we thought? Is it more connected? Is it more altered?
It's all of the above. It's really far richer, especially when we think about the diversity of microbes in the ocean. It's more connected when we think about these animals that migrate large distances. We also see things that move up and down in the ocean from the surface to the deep layers, and we have new tools that allow us to document that much more explicitly than we could in the past.
Scientists have deployed robots to explore the ocean depths and established an underwater network of microphones to track salmon and other migrants from Alaska to Mexico. More than 4,000 marine creatures of 23 species have been tagged with electronic sensors. Researchers are also building a database of DNA records. Snellgrove says all that information is compiled in a huge, publicly accessible digital archive.
We believe this is perhaps the single greatest legacy of the census. This data set is available to managers, to conservation groups, or even to individuals who want to know what sort of animals live near them in the ocean.
The census reported potentially 6,000 new species, 1,200 of which have been described. Among them are a hairy crab, a carnivorous sponge, and an ancient shrimp thought to have gone extinct 50 million years ago. It determined that by weight, up to 90% of all marine life is tiny microbes. Over the decade, census scientists published 2,600 academic papers. Snellgrove says he's already seeing the research put to practical use.
There are areas in the Arctic and in the Antarctic and also along the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which have received elevated protection as a result of information, of data that the census has provided. And I think in the future, there'll be many more protected areas in the ocean. And with this data, we have much more useful knowledge on where to best locate them.
The knowledge the census has provided about sea life is just a beginning, Snellgrove says. Much of the ocean remains unexplored, leaving many unanswered questions in its depths.
We see this tremendous array of species, but broadly speaking, most of the species in the ocean, we don't know what they do for us and what they do for the ecosystem. And so that raises the question, of course, if you lose those species, does that change the ecosystem? Does it compromise the health of the oceans? And so that's something I think that needs to be a priority in the coming years.
Snellgrove hopes the Census of Marine Life ignites a sense of urgency to protect the ocean, which he says is key to our own survival.
I think we need to accept the fact that we need the fish that we extract from the oceans and all the other sorts of fisheries that we have, but we do need to find a way to make them sustainable and to find a way to preserve the biodiversity in the oceans as well as those fisheries, because the two are very strongly interlinked.
At the Census of Marine Life website at coml.org. The 10-year, $650 million effort received initial support from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation and later from governments, institutions, and laboratories around the world. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.